advantage for Sean Mackey to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
Different season, same old story, and there's a monkey on our back wearing a Livingston top as the Lions once again devoured the Bears. But we won't look back in anger, will we? Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft. I'm your host, John McNally. With me, the ginger godhead pod himself, the one-man band in the main stand, it is Ross Wayne, fresh from Oasis.
Yeah, superb, mate. Well, the Oasis were superb. Saturday afternoon was one to forget. But yeah, Oasis last night were just... Listen, I've seen them before. I know what they can do, but... that was like a greatest hits almost night in it, and like amazing. It was just tune after tune, and it was probably the quickest gig I've ever been to. Like, you know, when it's just like you thinking, "Oh, we're not done already," but they were 2 hours, so it was just a phenomenal night. And like the atmosphere inside Murrayfield was just like absolutely electric, and it was great to see so many people from Falkirk there. Actually, you saw people there, you saw them on social media and stuff as well. A few Falkirk bucket hats. In fact, the guy standing behind us taps him on the shoulder, and he's like, "Is that a Falkirk Daft?" I was like, "Yeah, a Falkirk fan." He went, "No, he says I'm a Celtic man, but my partner and our wee boy are season ticket holders. Can I get a photo?" And I was like, "Yeah, as in the hat, no me." And so he takes a picture, and then Dez has got a Falkirk Football Club bucket hat on. It's like, "Oh, I didn't even know you had one." So he's taking a picture of Desi's hat as well. So, but yeah, no, brilliant. Honestly, just, you saw them in London as well. It was just a phenomenal experience, and it definitely helped quash the Saturday afternoon misery, unfortunately.
As I said, it was like 90s Christmas. I have to say, though, like I couldn't get a ticket. I was very lucky that my mate had spares for Wembley. But I was raging, like, looking at all these young kids who don't even know who Oasis with their folks and all that. Now, listen, great experience for them.
I know.
Wonderful.
I know.
But I'd be raging if I hadn't seen them. And there's all these young kids going to see them who can't even be arsed. So, I know. But listen, glad you enjoyed it. And
phenomenal.
Softened the result from yesterday, which, of course, we're going to be talking about in this episode as we look back at that game against Livingston. And before we get into that, though, let's talk about some club news. Ross, Flynn McCafferty has went off on loan to Bonesh United for this season. We've seen glimpses of Flynn, obviously mainly through the Stirlingshire Cup stuff. Again, one for the future, and hopes he kicks on now. We were looking to roll people into the team, you know, through the academy. Yeah,
absolutely. So this is all part of the process, and as it said, the club said he's obviously a graduate of the sort of performance skill side of things, and then went on to sign a modern apprenticeship last year. So this is his second year, and he has been involved. He's been littered around the first team, hasn't he? He's been to the bench a number of times, and as you said, he was part of the Stirlingshire Cup success last year and this year. So yeah, good luck to him. Hopefully that level will toughen. If he needs toughened up, it will toughen him up.
Bonesh are a decent side.
They are, exactly, and he'll play a bit of football, but he'll get experience playing against senior guys, and it'll be a big thing for him. But no, best of luck to him, and I'm sure at points when Bonesh United are playing in Falkirk, there'll be a few Bears fans that might go along and be able to watch him.
Sure, there will be, absolutely. We have got the game, obviously we're going to preview that on our Thursday episode against Celtic on Friday night. Tickets obviously are on sale to season ticket holders right now as we record this episode, but then they go on general sale tomorrow at 9:30. You've got yours, Ross. I'm not going to make it because of work, unfortunately, but you've got yours and they're heading on and behind the wall bus.
Yep, yeah, myself and my youngest daughter are booked on. I have said to her, listen, because it's her first time going to like Celtic Park, and I did say to her, listen, let's enjoy being in a huge stadium. We're obviously not sure how the game itself is going to go.
But, off for Saturday.
Well, do you know, even without yesterday, I think it was always going to be a tough game like it was last year eventually. But we go there, there's no pressure on Falkirk. There's literally not one person in the world who thinks we'll go there and win. So apart from probably some optimistic Bairns fans like us, but yeah, we're looking forward to it. Well, I think we'll do a good showing. I'm not getting the feeling that there's going to be as big a Falkirk crowd as there was last year.
I
I'm
think
not feeling that.
it was the novelty last year that we hadn't played them in so long, and then obviously getting them in the cup, there was that kind of buzz, like, what can we do? Because we were in such fine form at that point, and
Yeah.
obviously we're going to play them, at
We
least
are. We're going to play
three times
them two or
this
three times, if not more,
year.
this year. So I get it. I do. And a Friday night's not always the best
That's
for everybody.
absolutely.
The schools are packed this week as well.
Of
So
course.
I there, listen, there's I think there will still be a healthy Falkirk contingent, probably 1,000 to 1,500. That figure may end up being wrong, and we have more than that. But yeah, just now when like speaking to people, a lot of people who went last year, you're hearing that they're not going this year. So, and the club have been really quiet in terms of like how the ticket sales have been going. Normally they would crow about, oh, we sold 1,000 today, or we sold 1,500 today. So there's not really been that. So we might get an update, I suppose, this week.
On the telly Friday night, this time
Aye.
of year, are people still on holidays and stuff like that.
You
But
do.
yeah, no, listen, fingers crossed to get along, and yeah, tickets, if you aren't wanting a ticket, they go on sale Monday, and they'll be on sale as this podcast is now out on a Monday. The club continue with their kind of heritage season. I'm not saying it's a little bit like Falkirk Daft Live, but it generally is. But it's a great thing they're doing, obviously getting money into the club and not in me and Ross's pockets. But you head along to the Heritage Series. It's happening on Friday, 29th of August. I'm quite disappointed because I asked Scott Crabbe if he'd do Falkirk Daft Live, and I noticed he's doing this Falkirk Heritage Series, raging at that. But Scott Crabbe, Davy Nicholls, Crunchy himself, and of course Sir Alex of Totten will be in the Brockville Bar. It's a bit more informal. They'll talk about obviously all the stories from being at Falkirk, and you can get along to that Friday, 29th of August. All the details are on the Falkirk websites.
Yeah, no, listen, I think that'll be a good well, we've spoken to obviously Crunchy before. We've spoke to David Nichols before. You've done Alec Totten at a previous event as well. So listen, Scott Crabb, I think he'll be great. I'm sure he does have a lot of stories.
I
He
did. We
obviously.
did. We did. I did them at the Behind the Wall event when we did the 97.
Oh yeah, for the Crunchy initiative. Yeah,
Yeah,
uh-huh.
we did. We did the 97 reunion night and did Crabbe. He's a great lad,
Aye.
absolutely great lad. And I tell you what, he still looks fit as a fiddle as well, looking really good.
He really does. I've not seen him in a long time. I actually we used to work not together, but we used to work at RBS. So he was a driver for this. Going to sound like I'm higher up than I was. He used to drive people from the office to the airport. So
Right.
like they had like an inter-site in Ed when RBS actually had people working in Edinburgh and in offices. They used to have a little bus that would go round, a minibus that would go round the offices to take you to the airport. And I got on one day with my wee bag, and I'm sitting looking at him going, that's Scott Crabb. And so I wasn't sure if I was going to say anything. And then when he gets to the airport, he's like, here's your bag, sir. And I was like, listen, you don't need to call me sir. I was like, yeah, is Crabb on it? And he went, oh, you're a Jambo. And I went, no, I'm a Falkirk fan. He went, please don't hate me. And I went, I don't hate you. I says, listen, you gave us some loads of good times. So I know I left under a bit of a cloud, as a few players did when they went to Livingston. But Livingston throwing money around, shocker. But I think he'll have some great stories, especially around that cup final run in 1997 as well. So no, fair play. Hopefully there's a big amount there. Is that in the Brockville Bar or is it in the fan
It's in
zone?
the
Where are they
Brockville
doing
Bar.
it?
It's in the
It is
Brockville
in
Bar.
Brockville Bar, right? Okay, I wasn't sure
Brockville
if
Bar.
what they were using, but either way, hopefully a lot of Bairns fans go down to that as well.
Yeah, should be a good night. The away allocation, we've all been asking when, how can we get a ticket for Tynecastle? The club have come out and said how it's going to happen, just in case you haven't heard. So there's obviously 25 tickets are going to be reserved for the supporters' buses,
Yep.
and they will go to season ticket holders only on those buses. Then there's an allocation being reserved for ultras, and it means the 75%, rest of the 75% is going to be an opt-in ballot, which I think for season ticket holders, obviously, as well. I think that's the fairest way of doing it. I know there's been a bit of consultation. There's no other way around it. People are always going to be disappointed. I'm sure people will kick off against it, but there's no other way about it.
No, I actually don't mind it at all. And if I'm being honest, and I might not be a popular opinion, I'm so glad they're trying to get away from this first come, first served at the shop at 9:30 on a Tuesday when the
I do think because people have got to work, you know. I remember, like, we've in the past, you've been lucky enough that sometimes you've been working from home, Ross, and you've been able to
or it's fell on a day off,
and you've been able to go down, you've been able to, like, right, can I have such and such tickets? You know, you've always done the running and the heavy lifting on that, but I do think it's a bit of a fairer way to do it, just to register our interest. I mean, the only places you're really going to run into trouble are Celtic Park, Ibrox, and
Tynecastle, probably. Yeah, Tynecastle. Everywhere else, we'll get plenty of tickets.
You'll be fine for Hibs, Aberdeen, Dundee.
I think I also think it's a good shout that they're looking after the buses, because I know a lot of Falkirk fans who go every week, they don't travel on a bus. I completely get that, right? But the buses that do run can't run if only 8 people get a ticket for the game, so these people might not be able to go. So I think that's a good shout, and I do like, and I know it's not a percentage, it's 30 tickets, but you saw yesterday what the ultras bring when they're there, and they're obviously they're there every week, so, like, why shouldn't they be looked at the same as the supporters clubs as well? So it's great that they're going to have a presence at every game.
Great. I don't think there's any arguments from my side. I've not seen much grumbling about it, which is surprising. So
nah, just the odd person maybe on Facebook who said, listen, I don't travel on a bus, but I have went every, and I get it. Listen, I'm not someone who can say I've been to every single game for the last 15 years, right? I've been to a lot of games in the last 15 years, but not every of them. There will be people who probably can claim that, and that don't travel on a supporters bus, but as you said, like, what other way is there to be fair? There's not.
Exactly. Shout out to the Falkirk women. We're recording on Sunday. They just went full time. They have beaten Morton 2-0. Bryony Ross and Olivia Murphy getting the goals.
Good.
Gutted because I was actually down at the stadium because I've been playing dad taxi and the fair's round at the stadium just now. I was dropping off my daughter and her pals there and I went and picked them up. She was half an hour late getting back. And I was like, not dinging me on the phone to the point I had to go into the fair like angry dad and say, I've been waiting out there for half an hour, come on, we're going. And our friends were like, ooh. But I could have been in watching the Falkirk women. Was what I was like. If I'd known, I would have just popped in and seen the girls play. But yeah, brilliant. 2-0 win for the girls. That's their first game of the season, so brilliant to see that. And of course, Captain Anna representing Falkirk Daft on the pitch as well.
Yes, yeah, we... Ian Sneddon, the club's photographer, he popped round during the week to get 2 fresh armbands for Anna for the season to wear. So, brilliant to see her with the Falkirk Daft armband. Just a shout out, actually, so that Anna, Ian does obviously brilliant photos. He'd put on photos of her in the armband. And then when I went to put the highlights on from the BBC from yesterday to refresh my memory, I saw Brad was the first screen from the pitch with his armband on. So a wee bit of nice exposure at least for us yesterday.
Getting the badge in. Well done, Brad, getting the badge in. Good to see the football off to a great start there for the season. Before we get into the game, let's say thanks to our sponsors, of course, Behind the Wall. Loads going on in there just now. Behindthewall.co.uk is where you want to go to. And I've got the Falkirk Daft Carling Coach, of course, back on this season. Same deal as last season, £5 for home games, £12.50 for the away games now. But you're going to get that pint of Carling back at Behind the Wall after the match. Always, I think it's a brilliant deal, best deal going for that. And there's loads going on there as well. Check out behindthewall.co.uk for more info. And thanks, of course, as well to the Falkirk Football Fans and Training. Our T8s supported us the last few seasons and are delighted to be back with us again this season. They've been going for about 10 years now, and there's a chance to get along, have a laugh. The time now is a Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30 at the stadium. They've got all sorts of sections going on, but if you want to get fit, you feel you want to make new pals, the T8s are where you want to head to. Wednesday, 8:30, 9:30. And they're going to be having, they're going to soon to be promoted. They've got the Legends and hopefully an over 50 section as well. So watch this space for that. Get in touch with them. If you fancy getting on with the tickets, all the details are in the bio below. And they're thinking about having a big tournament at the end of the season. The Kelpies tournament will be the inaugural tournament for over 40s and no expos or registered amateurs. And Falkirk team, if that happens, we're putting together the Falkirk Daft team to play in that.
But it sounds like we're not allowed any of our usual ringers that we would normally call.
Well, ex-pros, okay, we're not allowed the ex-pros, so there goes our contacts and many of my contacts actually as well. But we, I know some good players. I know some boys that I play sevens with. So we'll get them in, and of course the Falkirk Daft listeners, we've obviously put you through this podcast for our charity games before. So but listen, if you want to get involved, get in touch with Ian, Willie, or Dougie. All the links are in the bio below. Right, I think we've talked long enough and put it off long enough, but let's talk Livingston, and let's do it in the company of a man who was on, I think, reviewing the Hearts game last season. It is Richard Lindsay.
Hi guys, how you doing?
You're right, Chief, how you doing?
Hello, thank you very much for coming back on. We've got your Falkirk story before. What question are we going to ask? I'm just going random. Who's your favourite foreign player that's ever played for Falkirk, apart from Russell Latapy?
You just stole it. Favourite foreign player? Anthony Stokes was foreign, right?
I guess that you can get Irish.
That's a good question. I like that question. That's a good question.
Especially when I hadn't anything planned. I was no informed about that. It's quite difficult. Yeah. But
on the spot, you could have had...
Danny Mallow, there you go.
Mate, what a shout.
What a save at Inverness, by the way. Unbelievable.
Worldy save. For all the young punters that don't know who Danny Mallow is, go and check the relegation game where we were fighting against relegation, and Danny Mallow's save was unbelievable.
He still occasionally tweets about Falkirk.
I do see that, Danny Mallow.
Do you know, have you ever noticed, though, that he obviously uses, Google Translate or something, right? Because instead of saying, come on the navy blue, it's always come on the marine blue. What a guy, though. That's a shout as well. Is that who your favourite foreign player would be, then? Are you going Danny Mallow?
Yeah. I'll go Danny Mallow. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
What about you, John? What would yours be?
I don't know. Do you know what? I was very fond of, I don't know why, Brent Raheem. Remember Brent?
Scrap
that. My main man, had him on the back of my top, Arnau Riera. What an absolute Rolls-Royce of a midfielder he was.
He was a cracking player. I was on tour with, I was working at a club at the time when we went to Holland for the pre-season tour. Yeah. And I think Riera had just signed. I think it was maybe the last night all the boys were going into the wee village to go for a pint or whatever. And Riera was in the kind of lobby, and he'd obviously played in Barcelona B team. He was a captain.
Yeah.
With Messi and whatever. So he was just telling all the boys about Messi. Everybody was silent. Just pure silence in the room listening to Riera talk about Messi. Unbelievable. Incredible stories.
See, in terms of we have had some phenomenal foreign players, the one I've got in my head, I don't know if he's my favourite, because I think I'm going to plump for Pedro Moutinho as a legend, right? But do you remember Gerard Afjes?
Big Gerard.
He was such a class act, wasn't he?
We went through a period of having some unbelievable central defenders, didn't we? We had Cedric Uras. Remember, we had Lessonell.
He was class, by the way.
Lessonell was unbelievable for about two games and then disappeared off the planet.
Yeah,
Carol Dodd. Remember, big Carol
Dodd. That's a good shout. Yep.
There we go. We'll keep this question going. We'll just do random questions as we go. But what some lovely memories going down memory lane with some of those names. Right, let's talk about the game then, shall we? It's kind of what we do here. Right, where do we start? Let's start with starting 11. Couple of changes in that. Changes we spoke about last week, Ross, just in terms of legs and getting legs in the count. So Aidan Nesbitt in for Scott Arfield, Ross McKeever in for Brian Graham. I kind of thought he might have started with Brian and given, I thought one change might have happened in that case, but he's went for both. Thoughts?
I don't think it worked. I think I agree. I think I maybe expected to see Ross McKeever in, which did happen. I think I thought Arfield might have been in behind him. It was a frustrating, like, I know we're just talking about the lineup now, but it just, you just felt from the off that this isn't working. And I know we started fairly brightly, but like, how often does John McGlynn make changes like at half time? Very rarely. And so I think that's a bit of an admission from him that his starting 11 was maybe not what it should have been.
Would you what who would you have taken out, Richard? If, you know, because we discussed it last week. Would you have taken them both out, or would you just had like
I mean,
Gray or Garfield?
I definitely would have started McKeever just because of his impact off the bench against Dundee United. And I thought he would have played Arfield just to have that bit of presence, you know, a bit of composure, because we know how difficult it is to go to Livingston. So you need those experienced players in there. You know, I'm not saying Aidan isn't experienced, but we'll go on to the game, obviously. But I just don't think you can play a midfield three as Spencer Tait and Nisbet at Livingston, you know, and that kind of showed after
Tried
like.
it. We've tried it before, and it's no work before
Like
now.
after 50 minutes, like Ross said, we played really well for 50 minutes, but as soon as Livingston got a grip of the game, you know, the midfield, it kind of fell apart for there. So.
Well, do you know, we've slagged them off plenty, and we know about the dark arts and all that stuff, right? Do you remember? I don't know if it was you I tapped on the shoulder, Richard. I think it may have been in the 15-minute mark. Do you remember what happened? Or 18, 15, 18-minute mark? The one of their players went down. The physio comes on. David Martindale's no shy about this. He's openly said about it before. He gives instructions to the team, changes it up. He did just that.
It's
He
pretty clever. Like,
he's very clever. He
I
stopped the
applaud
game and
it
he
because
changed
it's
the game.
like, yeah. I mean, you're always looking for little edges in the game, you know, and like the fact that he came up with that or sort of saw it from somewhere and then adapted it into Livingston's play. Fair play, like, absolutely, no problem with that at all.
I have no issue, like, oh, I would have an issue with them winning the game, but I actually have no issues with them winning that game yesterday because they were the better team.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just, I mean, it's a lesson to be learned. Sometimes when you're at these levels and all these margins, and we're up against it this season, we're absolutely up against it. Like, those little things make all the difference, and a bit of practice of the dark arts in this league. Like
Yeah,
Livingston, I mean, Livingston have been on the Livingston know how to play this game. Martindale knows how to play this game, and you know, held into that league, and credit to them.
I think when we talk about the goals, we'll talk about how kind of naive we are.
Yeah, I think so.
Because there's
I
just
mean,
absolutely no way that Livingston concede those goals. No
yeah,
way. You
no.
know? And other teams will not concede those goals. So, like, it's like I listened to John's PLZ Soccer interview, and he says we need to learn quickly, which is bang on. We do.
Yeah, absolutely. First 15 minutes, so really bright stuff. Come out the traps as Falkirk do. Unlucky with a couple of chances. Keeper, and I mean, we know Pryor's is an excellent goalkeeper. And obviously, you know, pulled off some brilliant saves. But you know, Dylan Tate, Ross McKeever, I think was the one that I thought he would bury that actually. Dylan Tate's, I thought was just a wee bit, you know, it was quite a hard one to take, you know. I heard, I think it was in Sports Scene. By the way, how amazing is it just like on a Saturday night now, sitting down and watching Sports Scene again with Falkirk on it? I completely forgot about that thrill. And you don't have to wait till midnight now. The goals, you can switch on Sports Scene and
You
watch
actually
that.
watched it? No chance. Fair
Aye, no, I watched it. I
enough.
watched that. I just like the buzz of watching Falkirk on the BBC.
Oh,
But I it's. I think Jock Brown said in the commentary, because we're doing that 50 thing, so Jock Brown was doing commentary, like, he could have went over the keeper, and I was like, nah, it was just that, it was a chance, but I thought Ross McKeever, you know, was probably had the better of the two chances. If we go up then,
John,
is it been any
John,
different?
see on that though. See Tate's one. And it's not until I've watched it back a few times because at the time, well, we thought it was in. You heard the roar of the crowd. I think the Falkirk fan just thought it was in. But do we think he should have tried to head it to the other corner?
Well,
Because
that's what they said in the commentary,
it
and
was
I'm like,
gaping. There was a gaping like hole at that side. I know it's easier said than done, but maybe that would have been the better
So
the idea there.
we did open well. Do you think if we'd went ahead at that point, Richard, do you think it would have made a marked difference in the game?
I think he definitely would. I think John said that afterwards as well. Yeah, I think, you know, as much as the McKeever chance is a good chance, I don't think it's a particularly difficult save for a goalie, to be honest. I think if Ross had kind of went down into the ground, maybe, you know, then it's more of a chance. It's a great cross from Leon. You know, I think Cole said in commentary as well that he'd been working on crossing, you know, and you could tell in the first, like, against Dundee United how good his crossing was. So, no, I thought if we'd scored, because Livingston did look shocked. Like, you know, I think there's bits in the commentary where you see their players try to G up the rest of the team because we're
Yeah.
getting in behind them, and we very rarely have done that against Livingston, haven't we? You know, down the sides, I thought we've got them here, and as soon as we didn't score in that 15, 20 minutes, you just knew it was going to come and happen. You know, it's like it's happened so many times before.
And it did come, 18th minute. Ross, what did you make of the goal?
Again, like, so obviously at the time I was just so furious with not clearing our lines, and I'm probably even more annoyed when I watch it back. Like, you see the ball get passed to Lewis, and I think it's Dylan Tate actually. You just see he's moving the arm, just saying, "Listen, get it up the park," and he
Yeah.
doesn't. And we've paid for it again. And it's sometimes knowing when to clear it. And I know we like to play football, we like play out for the back. Are we good enough to do that in the Premiership? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. The teams are far better, and it's not a slight on our quality, but teams are sharper, they're bigger, they know what they're doing. And playing out for the back like he tried to do, it was just a recipe for disaster. And it led to, like, as I think Sportsman talked about it as well, actually, the four defenders almost follow the ball out to Robbie Muirhead. No one's watching the runner, and it's a tap-in. And you just think it's schoolboy, sadly, schoolboy defending at that point.
I think at the game, Ross, we both said to each other, there's a time and a place for
Aye,
that.
there
You
is.
know what I mean? And away to Livingston,
Yeah, it's not it.
with our previous results, it's not the time and the place to try and play it for the back. And it's obviously a directive for John, and a lot we obviously love that we try and play
Yeah.
good football and that. But, like, sometimes just deal with it. The other thing about the goal that I feel is a wee bit unfair on Lewis. Obviously, people were like blaming Lewis
You know, a lot of criticism
for giving
was
the ball
Lewis
away.
Nielsen.
Yeah, but there's a lot of play after that happens.
Oh,
You
aye,
know,
there
people
is.
try
It's not
and,
how. That's the start of the issues.
yeah,
That's the start of the
people
issues.
shuffle back in and don't go to the ball, you know,
Yeah.
and then I think it's played inside to Lewis Smith. And this is like one of the instances where I say we're naive. He kind of like drifts past. I think it might have been Tate, I'm not sure. And like Livingston would have brought our player down, gave away a free kick there. But we don't, we're too nice. And somebody said that at the game as well. We're a wee bit too
Yeah.
nice. You know, we're not very street smart, and like it goes out to Muirhead. Fair play to Muirhead. You know, I thought it was quite intelligent play, not just smashing at the goal, because I think Liam's sliding in to try and block it.
Yeah.
But like you say, everybody goes to the ball. It's like, I mean,
I know.
space doesn't score goals, mark a
Nah.
man,
I'd
and
Liam's tried like Liam's tried thought he's going to cross it here and went for the block and he's just kept his
Oh, I
head
think Liam did
in.
the right thing because he was out there early. He was the first person there, but then all the other players, there was five in the box, I think, five or
Yeah.
six in the box. They didn't all need to go out there, you know, just, and then you can see them kind of shouting at each other once the ball goes in the net, because they kind of know they've let themselves down there. But
Yeah.
yeah, it's a terrible goal to concede. I mean, everything that could have went wrong kind of did go wrong. And
Yeah.
it kind of reminded me a wee bit of the Yenge goal from last season, when we give the ball away in midfield, you know, and then straight away we're in trouble, and then it's in the top corner. Slightly different goal, obviously, but
I know. I was going to
the
say the actual
mechanics of it are kind
their
of the same.
second goal reminded me of the Yenge goal for being an absolute worldie. But
Yeah, the second one as well, yeah.
Robbie Muirhead's, you know, a good player. You know, I'd love to have had him. You know, if Livingston had stayed down, I'd love to have seen if we'd been able to coax him over to Falkirk because he's a player who I think, you know, quite rightly deserves to be in the team of the championship last season.
He's got really good technical ability, hasn't he?
Yeah,
Yeah, you know.
he really does.
Very good
And
player.
obviously, Mr. Livingston himself, Scott Pittman, had to just tap it in at the back post. They're in. I mean, Livingston kind of got a grip in the game. The chances were few and far between. Alfie had a kind of pot shot. Ethan Ross obviously going off, injured. John kind of was a bit quiet about he doesn't know too sure, but it's an ankle injury, so that doesn't sound good, Ross.
No, and it didn't look good at the time. You saw Ethan's reaction. He knew he was got like, and then based on his reaction, we all knew he was got off as well. And that was another blow, because Ethan has been on a real rich vein of form. And this isn't a slight on Alfie, but
He's no starter.
for him to come on that early, he didn't have a lot of impact on the game. Whereas, you know, if you give him 15, 20 minutes, he's going to come
He's
on
an
and
imp he's an
terrorise
impact.
them.
He is an impact player, and that's where Alfie does his best. I mean, and seeing that at the start of last season, he was starting and scoring goals,
Yeah.
but he's an impact player, Alfie.
Well,
You
he's going
know,
to get
he's
his
got the
chance now if Ethan's
yeah.
out for a.
we talk about the first 15-20 minutes. Sorry, John. We talk about the first 15-20 minutes and how we were getting in behind, and primarily that was Ethan.
That was,
you know, and then that almost changed as soon as he went off. You know, we didn't have that kind of. I know Calvin. We had Calvin on our side, but and he was doing a lot of good work. But like Ethan in behind was the ball all the time. It kind of had that fullback. I thought. A couple of times, and but as soon as he went off, you're like, okay, we're making problems.
If you are going to play Alpha, you play him on the right. You know, you got put onto the left initially, and I think that got changed further down the game. But play him on the right. Do not play him on the left.
I thought Calvin looked really good when he moved to the left. And it's not to say he's been bad when he's on the right, because he's set up so many goals and he's scored for there as well. But he is far better on the left. And you think back,
we do seem to like the inverted wingers for some reason. You know, obviously it's paid dividends up till now. So it's good that we've got both options. But Calvin looked way better on the left.
Livingston get the second goal. Said it already. Absolute. Lewis Smith's a good player. He's a decent player. I don't know if he would do it at this level, but God almighty, did he prove it with that finish, Ross?
It was a beautiful finish. Some strike. As Richard said earlier on, there's loads of issues in the build-up to it. We've got multiple chances to close them down. Keelan Adams could have closed them down. I think Dylan Tate. There's another couple. And we just give him space and we show him on his left foot. And the strike goes in. I'm in two minds about Scott Bain, whether he could have done better.
He's got no chance at that. See, when you see it from behind the goal, he's got no chance.
Do you think, though, do you think with Nicky's height, do you think Nicky would have got a hand to it? I think he may have. I know it's all F-spots and movies, but I think Nicky would have got a hand to that.
I don't think so. I just think it's too... When you see it from behind goals, because when you see it from one angle, I was like, But then you see it from behind the goals, you thought, nah, no one's getting it.
It's a quality finish, like it's a quality finish.
This is a goal that really annoys me, though. This is the goal that really annoys me. Because, so we're pressing the goalie, and maybe Prior meant to like play that ball out to Montgomery, but he almost kind of just hits and hopes with it to that side. And you've got Spencer having to track across. The midfield has disappeared. You've got Spencer having to almost like do a couple of jobs there, you know, get across from that left hand side of the midfield. And like John said in some press conferences, maybe he should have taken a book in, you know, just wiped him out. But if you look at the gap, the gaps are just massive. And that's another thing we'll get onto about how open we are. But the gaps were just so big, you know, and the ball's into Macaulay Tate, it's shifted to Smith. And when he comes inside, I think John again said, keep him going outside, keep him going like away from, like, you know, keep him going away from the goal. We let him inside, and it's a fantastic finish. You know, I think he definitely has it in his locker. I think he played against Kilmarnock last week, and he set up Livingston's equaliser. He absolutely skinned the fullback and got the ball in. So he's got that ability. You know, it's a great finish, but we should never have got to that position where he was getting a shot goal in the first place. Again, a bit of naive, I think.
Yeah. Half time. Subs are wrong. And this is the one that gets me. Right, now I get he's switched the formation. We went 4-4-2 with Big Brian coming on for Aiden. Again, Leon didn't do much wrong in that game. In fact, he got a couple of decent balls in earlier on. And I just feel it's just like a scapegoat thing with Leon. Oh, he's small, which is get Sean Mackey on. I mean, do you see, you guys probably saw better... You know, were they targeting Leon? I mean, I was watching it on a stream, but what did he target Leon, and were they getting any joy out of it, or is it just that he's just went, well, let's get another big boy on the park?
I don't think they targeted him as such. Their fullback's actually one of the biggest either in terms of that, until obviously they bought their boy Montano on. But no, I don't think they targeted him. I think it was the wrong sub. I think it was, not the wrong sub. I think it was a wasted sub. I didn't disagree with changes at halftime, but I think it was a wasted sub. I don't think there was any need to bring on Sean Mackey for Leon. If you were going to take Sean Mackey on, put him on for Lewis Nielsen, whose confidence was shot to shit.
Yeah.
I think as well, like, we're talking about Liam Smith having a good game, but it didn't really go past McCann at any stage. You never felt like you were worried about that side. And it feels like maybe it was the goal that was a deciding factor, because it's cut inside and you feel like John was a bit annoyed that he cut inside Leon or whatever, you know, and you're like, Okay, but I still thought Leon had a decent enough game. But maybe, like you say, he's going 4-4-2. He's going for height. Maybe he thinks at corners or you know, things like that. Maybe we were just we're completely changing the style. So I can understand it as well.
Yeah. And then we had VAR for the first time. We encountered it in the Premiership. And of course, it went against us. I can't see how you can give that as a penalty. Obviously, in the letter of the law now, it probably, I don't know if it is. Like, what is Liam? He's trying to get his hands out of the way, and it's coming at him at speed. How can he possibly get his hands out of the way of that any faster? I don't understand.
I kind of disagree with you, John. To be honest, I think
it's a penalty.
I think he's making himself bigger. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. Like,
he's trying
your arm's,
to,
your arm's not naturally there, though.
He's trying
I,
to
I don't know.
His arms away.
Why are his arms away up there in the first place? I think we'd be screaming for it with the rules.
For me at the time, obviously, you're not at the right angle from our side of the stand to see if it was or was it wasn't until I watched it back, and I can see why they've given a penalty. And like Richard said, I think we'd be screaming for it as well. You're right, though. I get it from a body perspective. Like, what does he do? Does he try and put his arms behind his back, which is a weird thing to do in a scenario as well. I don't know what the right answer is, but I'd be screaming for.
I think also if you look at the players' reaction, all the Livingston players like claimed it, and Liam kind of just walked away sheepishly. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he almost like tried to like just go back into position. And I was at that moment, I was like, no, this is a penalty. You could tell just by everybody's body language that it was going to be a penalty.
As soon as they go to the monitor to look at it.
There's no point in the monitor, I'll be honest.
No, 9
just
times out of 10.
Just give it a penalty.
It's going to be a penalty.
Good save from Scott Bain, though. Good, you know, good. Gets down low, really, because it's down near his side, and he gets down and gets away with it well. So, and it's good to see, you know, I think he saved a good few in the League Cup as well. In the Cove game that he had
his penalty saves, his penalties have been he's been really good at penalties. That should have been the kick up the backside for the team to go on and try and get something, and it didn't. It was just so like pedestrian. There was a severe lack of urgency, and again taking McKeever off, what I thought was the wrong call as well.
Yeah. That was a fantastic save. You know, like, he's not the biggest guy in the world, and like to spring and get down to that and actually like keep the ball within his vicinity so he could just grab it again was great. They went for a VAR check though, didn't they? To see if he had like left his line.
I think they checked that.
Yeah, so you're like, here we go, retake.
Brilliant, obviously.
But like Ross says, yeah, that should have been a kick up the backside, but it wasn't. It was. For all the, like, we talk about the first 15, 20 minutes, we're getting in behind, we were fast. Every time we got the ball forward, we let them shuffle back in. And then it was like two players on Calvin, and you know, he had to wait for an overlap or something like that. You know, we were very pedestrian, I felt.
And then VAR again intervenes and goes against us yet again. As we have a penalty denied, the referee gives the penalty and... But then you actually see it back in fair play. The contact.
Way out of the box.
Okay, I haven't seen the sports scene highlights. I've only seen the Falkirk ones. So it looks miles inside the box on the Falkirk highlights.
Oh, no, it's outside.
Okay.
It's definitely outside the box. So quite rightly, we're turned down. But
that was it. Sorry, John, I'm just saying, we're talking about being pedestrian. That was like the only time in the second half where Keelan just took it upon himself.
Yeah, go for a run.
I'm just going to drive inside and see what happens. Do you know, you know, and then you ultimately get something out of it. That didn't happen enough at all in the second half. Things like that.
I mean, we got the goal though, which was great. Calvin Miller, great cross in, and what movement from Big Ross, by the way. See, if he comes from the offside position, loops back round, boom, and brilliant header. And he's one that's, you know, started the season well.
Why did we take him off?
This is what I don't get, Ross, and I heard you complain about it. So why take him off? He's got the goal, he's got the head up. Why take him off?
Brutal.
I get we need to get let's get Arfield on the pitch, but... Like,
he didn't look tired, he sprinted off as well. So, you know, so it's like, I feel like, I don't know if there's this little thing where we feel like we have to play Graham and Arfield together. I don't know if they've got like a really good relationship off the pitch or something. I'm not sure. But I felt like it's been like that in games where it's like Graham and Arfield or, you know, like McKeever and a different 10.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like a combination thing. But yeah, it didn't really work.
I think the subbing of him, and this might sound dramatic, but I think the subbing of Ross McKeever at that point, it sent a signal that we're not pushing. And we didn't push, did we? Like, we didn't push for to get back into the game.
I think maybe the reason he did take him off, because he said in some interviews that he had to change it back because we were too open. You know, we were going for it, but we were like, with that 4-4-2, we were just far too open. We were getting caught out all the time. So he kind of went back to the 4-2-3-1 or whatever, you know. But for me, if we see if we're playing a 4-2-3-1 away from home in the Premier League, we have to play two holding mids. Like, you can't leave Spencer alone with two attacking, you know. Tate, I love Tate, but he's an attacking player. You know, Nizzy, attacking player. If you're going to Livingston, for me we should have played Spencer and Cartwright as the two holders, and
Do you think
then
for away games then that's the way you go?
that's what I'd do. And then you've got a choice to make around 10. But I know Tate's not a 10, he's an 8, but he could still do that because he's a creative, very creative player. So I think you could do something like that because you want to get him on the pitch because he influences games. But certainly, I know obviously Celtic next week, but for that, we need to have two holding midfield players to help Brad out because it's not like the Championship. We're not going to have the ball all the time.
And I mean,
And
you could see from the first 5 minutes, Brad was the target because obviously Carey went right through him in
that was a
first 5 minutes.
shocker, by the way. That was an
That was a
absolutely
red card.
shocking tackle. Yeah,
That was a
terrible.
shocking tackle. But he was obvious that it's taken the first 5 minutes. You're not going to get a red card, are you?
But you know what? He knows what he's doing there because
Of course he
they were
does.
really frustrated at that point because we had all the ball. You know, we were creating chances. We looked great on the ball. And you could tell they were getting frustrated. And I think that was Carey saying, right, I'm going to lay a marker down here like to get us in the game. And it didn't work because we were still on top at that point. But it was a shocking tackle, really bad, out of control. You know, like I just felt like he knew what he was doing there. So yeah, I thought VAR would intervene there and that would have been a red card.
And then obviously you talk about us being open, Richard. The third goal from Livingston were caught, like, it's just a basic goal. The ball gets lumped up, and the boy's pretty much acres of space, got time to take, and just smashes it by the keeper, you know?
Do you know what I think we could have done better with the two players I'm thinking of? Is you've got Sean Mackey, who, for whatever reason, doesn't close the player down, just sort of meanders as if, like, oh, well, if he shoots past Bain, I'll maybe slide in, but he didn't.
Especially because we knew there was going to be a lot of injury time as well. It was 8 minutes in the end, like you still got to work harder. Got to work harder, you know.
Do you
And
know? Do you know? For me, like, I'm not actually that annoyed at this goal. Like, I really was at the time. Really was.
that's it
And
for
then,
me. Well, you talk about the second goal, Richard. For me, this was criminal.
But
This
see, for me, the third goal. See, if you look at the events that led up to it, are just chaotic. So, we had Liam Henderson up front, okay, which is understandable. We're going for it to try and get an equaliser. Lewis Nielsen goes and wins a header, and kind of lands with the boy. So they're both on the ground. So your two centre halves are out of the game, and it just fortuitously falls from Ntamo, who just whips a ball around the corner. And the two players running back are your fullbacks, who are going to be wide. You know, I understand you're saying about Sean Mackey, but I think those distances are a wee bit deceiving. I think he was quite far away. And so, like, it's just a series of events that just are just like disastrous. And to be fair, the boy's at a tight angle. It's a good finish, but I understand it looks really comical when it's a disastrous goal to lose. But at the same time, there were so many events happened there that you're just like, right, that's just their day summed right up there. And
Oh, it was. That
in a
was the
goal and or a
upset.
5 minute spell, that's your day.
It was a shite day. It was
That
an
was
absolute.
shite. It
It
was
was a
awful.
shite. It was a shite day.
Terrible.
And then obviously the Livingston social media, whatever Wayne's running the social media team as well. Honestly, it took me all the effort in the world when he put that Macaulay Tate one to put one saying Brad Spencer emptied his pockets, wallets, keys, championship winning medal. It took all my effort not to reply to that tweet, but honestly.
I haven't looked at any. Not for me. No bother.
I've muted the Livingston socials because, do you know, listen, let them have their wee thing. And listen, and all joking aside, they deserved their 3 points
They
yesterday.
did. They did. But it goes back. We need. We. I mean, we'll get into it in the reaction. But we just need bodies in there. We need Premiership bodies in there, and we need to wise up very quickly.
If
Because I
ever
mean,
it
at
was
the
going to be
end of the
highlighted,
day.
John, it was right there that we need players.
End of the day, these are the teams that we need to be getting. Listen, if we got to put out a point with Livingston yesterday, delighted. I'd be
And
delighted.
that's no slight on the boys that are there. I mean, we love them
No.
all because they've It's been incredible 2 years, but they just need a bit of help, you know? Yeah,
they do.
Listen,
they do.
We know John McGlynn knows what he needs to bring in, right? And I'm sure he...
Well,
I'm
a
sure
winger will be top of the list now.
Well, it has to be, yeah.
Centre-half, potentially another full-back or two. We maybe need four or five players in here, and he'll know it, right?
We're not going to get four or five, though. No, no way.
But listen, we've got... I hate to bang on about money, but we've just got another 300 grand or 250 grand for the Celtic game unbudgeted for... Right, just give him the money, see what he can bring in. Because if we don't, and I'm listen, this isn't an overreaction. We say even if we won yesterday, the players, sort of the fans, would still be looking for a few players to come in, right? Yeah. But and the fans also need to, like, there can't be we can't be like world beaters against Dundee.
No, but
that's what you're seeing on social media. Like people,
but yet, what you need to be doing and what you need to be thinking is Livingston and one of the team. When you start talking about Hearts away and Aberdeen away and Celtic and Rangers and coming to the stadium and stuff, like these are the teams we need to be grabbing away points against. If you walk away from a point for Livingston yesterday, you're happy because you make the stadium a fortress and you try and, you know, get draws, get wins there. But you need to be taking your away points as well. And that's our the team.
I think the only thing with Livingston is they know us pretty well.
Of course they do.
Nobody else does. And I don't think there's going to be many teams in the league. Well, a few teams, but not many teams in the league who'll play like Livingston. They're, you know, like a lot of fans like Aberdeen's, Dundee United's, Hibs, Hearts, they'll expect to go and dominate the ball, and it'll be like, you know, it'll be like tit for tat, it'll be like like the Dundee United game. It'll be very open and, you know, counter-attacking football. And I think we'll get joy there because we have the players to get joy in those games.
We will. 100% we are going to pick up points this year from various places. Places that we don't expect, maybe, absolutely, to pick up points.
Well, look at Dundee. I mean, look at Dundee getting that.
Overreaction. And I've not really looked at a lot of socials in the last 12, 15 hours, right? But from the bits I have seen, people need to calm the
There has been a big overreaction. Well, we'll get into it, actually, when we get to our own reaction. But before we do that, let's hear from the gaffer.
John, a disappointing result today. How would you sum up the game?
Well, I thought we started very well. Very immediately, almost in the game, we're getting behind them down the left hand side. Good run by Ross McKeever, good ball in behind. Ball across, goalkeeper managed to intercept it, but it was right from basically within the first minute. We've got a great ball in. Ross has got an opportunity at the back post. He actually meets it, you know, the header. Their goalkeeper makes a really, really good save. You know, I think that can make a big difference in the game if we go ahead and get in front. I think the goalie makes another save from Dylan Tate early in the game from a corner kick. And Dylan also had a chance from a free kick where a header went by, maybe, you know. So I think we started the game really, really well. I think, although there were a couple of corner kicks that we dealt with, I think the goal came against the run of play. The Glorious has got caught on the ball, unfortunately. We never really recovered. You know, the ball's been switched very quickly. Muirhead's got a bit too much time on the ball, getting a bit of space. And Pittman's probably got too much time in the middle of the goal. You know, we've no defended it very well at all. And so we get punished. And we kind of become scrappy. It becomes untidy. Their passing that was good in the first opening 20 minutes and winning second balls, kind of lost that after that period, which is disappointing. We never created a hell of a lot after that. We still always went towards the goal. We probably had one or two corner kicks. And then we caught a breakaway. And then the boys' goals are kind of worldly. We had a great strike, but we know not to let Liam Smith in the park, and we've let him in the park. And if he is going to get in the park, then he needs to come in the bodies, and that didn't happen. You know, so these are the bits and pieces there that we need to kind of like do better on. So we find ourselves 2-0 down, half time. We change things. We want to get two up top to give more, a little bit more threat. And to an extent, that kind of worked. We won a few headers, we got in behind, never quite got on the end of things to get a strike a goal. But at the same time, Kenny looked a little bit open as well, a little bit maybe too much. We lose a penalty, which is a bit unfortunate probably, but we're a kind of bit open and probably more chances of losing a goal of that period. So we changed back. You know, Sean sliding into left back, and the other kind of movements that we did with Ross McKeever dropping in. And from a situation where we nearly got a penalty kick just outside the box, and from that we score. We score from the free kick, which was great. I think we got a boost from that. I think we kind of took over in the game after that. We were going towards their goal. We were getting a lot of joy down the left hand side with Calvin and Sean. And maybe on another day we get an equaliser. However, we leave a huge big gap in our defence for them to score the third goal and kind of kill the game off, which is disappointing. So, you know, it wasn't something that we had kind of tactically went for or whatever. It just kind of shouldn't really happen. So, yeah, a learning curve. Yeah, there's going to be bumps in the road for sure this season. It's no like last season or the season before. We'll need to learn quickly. Yeah, we'll need to learn quickly. So, yeah, we're disappointed. A big thank you to all the Falkirk fans that came here today. I think if we score first, it's different. And I think I know the stats are quite even, but we all know that the main stats is the fact that they got three goals and we've only managed to get one in return. So the game's won on goals. That's for sure. You know, and Livingston took their chances in that respect. So yeah, it's got to take it on the chin. Look at things tomorrow and not kill ourselves, not crucify ourselves, because it's going to be like that. This is not going to be an easy place for any team at all. No one's going to come here and get it easy. So, as I say, we need to dust ourselves down and get ready to go again.
4 minutes.
Quite uncomfortable there. He was quite uncomfortable.
Quite uncomfortable. You can see when he takes the sip of water there at the end. I thought he was going to do a full Triple H, spit it out. But about 4:40 on the gun watch for that. He's not had to do many of those. He's not had to do many of those interviews. Because that is the first time, I think, in a long time. You know, because I think previous Livingston games, like last season, where they obviously had our number, it was a goal here. It was like a set piece there and all that. It wasn't that case of being... I think they again just being pulled apart and just letting them in and just not settling and having to change tactically and stuff. He's not had to do many of those interviews before.
Johnny, he is right. There's no point like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. People need to calm down. Right, we were so many plaudits for how we played against Dundee United last week, and yeah, we've been beaten against a team that we really don't want to lose against, right? Because of the shite for last year. However, as he says, that a lot of teams are, well, every team's a hard team. Every game's a hard game. We may as well just look at the next game that's coming up. But as Richard said earlier on, we will pick up points this season. Whether we pick up as many as we want to finish as high as we want, who knows? It's going to be a journey. It's interesting, his reaction there, though, because he's obviously really disappointed. He's really peed off. But he needs to bear in mind, some of these were self-inflicted by Falkirk yesterday. It wasn't all on, like, Livingston being amazing. We shot ourselves in the foot, and we never took our chances. We pissed about at the back. These are all self-inflicted situations. So they will look at it. I don't think it'll take anything that went wrong yesterday and realistically go, all right, we need to... change things for the Celtic game. The Celtic game is going to be a completely different vibe. We will need to be defensively really astute. And if we do get a chance, just as we did last September when we played them, we need to take them.
Yeah.
I think what we said yesterday as well is it's almost because it was Livingston.
You know, it makes it worse.
Say Livingston didn't go up and it was Ross County and we lost like a game 3-1 up in Dingwall or something. I know it's bad we'd have lost, but the overreaction is because it's Livingston.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely 100%.
For some reason, we can't seem to beat them at the minute. You know, it's a bit like Kelly, you know, in the 97 final and then the playoffs and then the relegation and all that. You know what I mean? It's just one of the teams at the minute. And so I can understand people being a bit upset, but like you say, Ross, we just have a wee bit more perspective. You know, not get too high when we do well and not get too low. But it's difficult. I can understand that as well.
I was bloody upset, and I'll tell you for why. I worked beside Marvin Bartley Livy's assistant coach. So we've been kind of barbing each other throughout the week and all that sort of stuff. And I said to him, like, because he was booked in to do a shift, I said, you better not pull out a shift if we pump when we pump you at the weekend. He's like, ha, ha. And then, like, so I said, I tell you what, see, if we do pump you, I'm going to come in on Sunday in my Falkirk top and produce the show, especially because I know you're on it. So he was on the show today and he sent me this bloody picture. I don't know if you could see that.
See it.
You can see it. Marvin Bartley sitting in a Livingston top in my office. So I was like, you wee bastard. But I,
no, it's not like a Livingston official to be classless, is it?
He waited as well, I have to say, because I was expecting it not long after a full-time whistle or like last night, and he's waited 24 hours just to let me see. But yeah, actually, I said to him, you know, I said to him, same old story, you know, we started off well, and he actually said, you started well, but he actually said, made this point, your team run back, it's sometimes in slow motion. And I hadn't thought about that until I actually watched it back last night, and I went, Jesus, we weren't getting back quick enough.
Did you see his Queen of the South team? Enough said. Thanks, Marvin.
But no, to be fair, he did make a point when I watched it back. It's like, we're not getting back, you know, into position quick enough at points. And I think that, you know, we've talked about the third goal, but there you go. So, big bastards, honestly. We better beat them the next time so I can level order up over him. Anyway, enough of Marvin. Let's see what you guys are saying. It says, William kicks off, said, William, disappointed to say the least. If we keep losing so many poor goals, then I can't see us getting 10th place. Anyone who still thinks we'll challenge for the top six needs sectioned.
Jay Penman says, I feel we currently only have 4 players equipped for the Premiership. Liam Henderson, Brad Spencer, Ethan Ross and Calvin Miller.
Ooh, that's an interesting one. You've got to put Scott Arfield in there. You've got to probably put Scott Bain, being Scotland international and playing in the Premiership.
Keelan's looked fine last week.
Keelan's looked fine.
The thing is, though, see on that, like, I know, I don't think he had his best game yesterday, Keelan.
No, he didn't. No.
However, again, if we're talking about perspective, the guy was working Saturdays in Costa about 18 months ago, and that's probably a rise has maybe been a little bit more quicker than for his development than...
I think Keelan's the modern fullback, you know, like defensively maybe, like especially last week, you know, but caught out a couple of times, but going forward he's going to create loads of goals for us this season, loads of chances.
Yeah. John says, started well as a result of keeping the ball on the deck and actually playing football. We need to score in the first 15 when on top. They started to dominate physically and as usual, we couldn't handle it. Mistakes are costing us. Also, £3.80 for a packet of Tang Fastics. That's scandalous.
That's the worst bet of the day.
Yeah. that's cinema prices, isn't it? Jesus. Ada's dad says, don't want to call the players out, but how can you play well and equalise twice against a team in Europe, but your heart drops when going behind to Livingston? Heads out your arses, team. However, a shout out to Col on commentating, who called Livy players out by talking about big man deep sea diving. I take it he's made a comment about I'm trying to remember what Livy player it was on the right hand side that did look to take a dive. I think he was booked for it as well.
Yeah.
So
that was actually one point that I thought the referee was good. You know, he wasn't standing for any of the kind of usual antics. So hence about the 40 minutes added time at the end of the game.
I think we still were playing 10 o'clock last night and no scored another goal.
Probably.
CCFC Mando, depressing transfer window so far. Kept a majority of championship level squad instead of going out and getting premiership quality. This is the result of not doing enough business.
Kirsty says we need new signings. As much as we love them, starting 8 players that played for us in League One isn't going to cut it in the Prem. Livy also just have our number. I agree with her on the second part. I think we need to get away from like talking about us being a League One team. We've never been a League One team, unless she means the level of player we signed. But then if they were League One players, they wouldn't have done well in the Championship either.
We did have a really bad day at the office. No one gets pass marks today apart from maybe Hendo and Bain, who couldn't really have done anything with the goals. Nielsen's going to cost us a lot of goals this season. Recruitment has been woeful, not improved the first 11 whatsoever.
And finally, Charlie says, don't get too high after a positive result. Don't get too low after a negative one. We knew before this game that we needed additions, and this just reinforces it. There's 36 more games to get it right, and he's bang on.
Go on, Charlie.
I think also we're so used to winning games of football.
This is it.
For 2 years, it's pretty tough to take. Your Saturdays have not been ruined for like a couple of years. So, it's just what it is. You know, we want to be here, so we just got to take the rough with this move.
Exactly. Right, okay. Question. Let's go for the rated first. Who's getting the Folkadaf rated? Leon McCann last week. Who out of that lot gets it this week?
I'm going to go for Ross McKeever. Yeah, I know he scored the goal. He obviously had another chance in the first half as well, but his general play was really strong, and I think he bothered them. He won an awful lot of headers like he did when he came on last week as well, and I think he was the wrong player to go off. So I'm going to say Ross McKeever.
Ross McKeever, Richard?
I went for McKeever as well, although I thought Calvin did a lot of good work without like a real final product. But I'll go Scott Bain just for the penalty save. It was a brilliant penalty save. It was probably the only bit of quality we produced sort of all game.
Yeah, the penalty save. I'm going to go Ross McKeever as well, because I did think he put himself about, like Ross said. So we'll give it to Ross McKeever this week. Right, Dafty. Now, you know, this is the point. The last couple of seasons, we've not really had to nominate Falkirk players, but we're now getting to the point that when we get to the losing side, is there a Dafty?
Do we have to give a Falkirk player?
It doesn't have to be the Falkirk player. It could be someone else.
I'm going to go for Ryan McGowan for rolling about like he'd been smashing the face when the ball went out for a throw-in down the near side. He quickly got it back up when the referee told him there was nothing in it.
He was naughty with the Ethan Ross situation as well.
He knew what he was doing there as well.
I would say Ryan McGowan as well.
Ryan McGowan, so no Falkirk players getting the Dafty of the week. It was just, to be fair, I think it was somebody said it, like no one was great yesterday at all. No one was really, you know, it was all...
I think individual errors are costing us, whether it's in front of goal, trying to score a goal, or keeping it simple at the back.
Like this is what's going to happen in the Premier League. You know, you get punished for your mistakes and you've got to take your chances, you know.
Yeah.
Well, but the thing is, and this is where everyone's getting it, Richard. It was a championship game that yesterday. Two teams both up from the championship. Now, the difference, obviously, is that Livingston went out and signed hundreds of players. They've signed just about everyone. So that's why I think there is, again, going back to this.
They look better than they did last year.
Yeah.
They look better. As in the players that I'm not saying they're all better, but I think we talk about them not playing football. There was no excuse yesterday. The pitch is perfect, and they did knock it about. They did knock it about. So
yeah, it was a sore one, absolute sore one. We go again, as they say, and we go again with Falkirk Daft versus. See that segue I just did there. Where we pit our guest pundit up against one of us two. I did last week, so it's Ross's turn this week to go up against Richard. Richard, you know the format. It's a penalty shootout style quiz. 5 questions all about Falkirk. Ross is going to write his answer down. You're going to give me your answer vocally, and we'll see who comes out top. Ross, have you got pen and paper?
I think I was last year the podcast before you started this.
Debut. It's a debut. Yeah. Here we go then. Right, your first question tonight on Falkirk Daft versus is who scored the second goal last time we faced Celtic? Nice, easy one to start. Ross is writing down his answer. He's got something written down, I'm sure. Richard?
Finneas.
And Ross, you've written down?
Finneas.
There we go. Question number 2 is a who am I? So who is this player? I signed for Falkirk after being released by Coventry City in 2006 and made 48 league appearances, scoring 8 goals as a striker. I also had 6 caps for my country. Who am I? Signed for Falkirk after being released.
Give us that again.
Signed for Falkirk after being released by Coventry City in 2006 and made 48 league appearances, scoring 8 goals as a striker. I also had 6 caps for my country. Who am I?
It scored 8 goals for Falkirk.
8 goals and 48 league appearances released from Coventry.
We signed him from Coventry.
6 caps for his country.
This is a brilliant question. I like this. I don't know the answer.
Don't know the answer. Richard, you're looking there. Back for
It's not right, but I'll go Danny McBreen.
Danny McBreen.
I think that's too late, isn't it? Does he sign the first Premier League season, 2004-05 or 2005-06?
Ross United.
Yeah, so it was 2006. I'm just going to take
Danny McBreen's wrong, by the way. So
oh, okay.
Striker. No, I can't. You know, I'm struggling to even think of a striker that played in the Premier that scored like came for Coventry. Can't even think. No.
Graham Barrett.
Was
on loan. I thought it was Arsenal we signed him from.
He was on loan at Livingston, and he was actually signed from Coventry.
Good question.
Go to Ibrox, didn't he? 7-2 game.
Yeah. There we go then. 6 clap taps for Ireland as well. I didn't realise that.
Well done.
Right, here we go. How many current Falkirk first team players played for Celtic? Is your next question. How many current Falkirk first team players played for Celtic?
You need to name them.
Nope, just need the number.
I forgot who plays for us.
You got a number written down, Ross?
I have now, yep.
Richard?
2.
You're saying 2. Ross Wayne?
Probably wrong, but I've written 3.
And Ross Wayne takes the first point. Cal Miller, Aidan Nesbitt, Scott Bain.
Who's the first one?
Calvin Miller.
Calvin Miller, of course. Yeah, I just had Bain and Nesbitt.
Right, there we go. 1-0, Ross. Next question is, what club connects the following Falkirk players? Crawford Baptiste, Stevie Kirk and Martin Corrigan. What club out with Falkirk, I should say, connects the following players? Crawford Baptiste, Stevie Kirk and Martin Corrigan. Ross has written something down. Richard looking confident.
No.
Hearts. Hearts. Ross. Motherwell is right.
That's what I was going to say.
2-0.
That's what I was going to say, Motherwell. Because of Corrigan.
And we have a winner. There we go. Well done, Ross Wayne. 2-0
victory
for Richard Lindsay. There we go. Richard, thank you so much. The Champions League music plays in the background as we hear it. But thanks so much for being a guest pundit on this week's Falkirk Daft Review Show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Remember, we'll be back with the preview show looking ahead to Celtic on Thursday. And I'm wearing my bucket hat. If your Oasis has gone, that really should have punted. We really should have punted these prior to Oasis. We should have been down at Murrayfield, Ross, punting Falkirk Daft bucket hats. But if you do want one, head to merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. You can have your very own Falkirk Daft bucket hat. It's the summer Oasis. Get involved. Or head to pintsandprints.co.uk as well to check out the Falkirk collection. The links are below. Thank you very much for watching. If you're getting us on YouTube, you can also listen to us if you're walking the dog or, you know, on your way to work. Get us on Apple, Spotify, whatever you get your podcast. Join the Discord channel. Get on it now. It is heating up. It's blowing up my phone at the moment. But get on the Discord channel. Right now, the link to that is below. And if you don't know what Discord is, it's just an app for your phone. It's like 1F back in the day, but just on an app. So getting stuck in there if you want a bit of chat on Falkirk. Right now, links are below. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. We'll be back on Thursday with a preview show. And until that time...
Expect unexpected, buddy. More than bounce.
Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk bear. We're Falkirk Daft. We are Falkirk Daft.